This is Ozarks at Large. If you look at the history of foreign aid and involvement in the developing world, corporations have a spotty track record, at times taking advantage of indigenous people in undeveloped nations. But things have changed. The director of a federal foreign development agency told an audience at the University of Arkansas yesterday afternoon that corporate involvement in the developing world not only receives more scrutiny and oversight, but corporate dollars have also become more necessary. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis explains.
Yesterday morning, the head of the U.S. Agency for International Development signed a renewed understanding of agreement with Walmart and the Walmart Foundation. Rajiv Shah, the director of USAID, told an audience at the University of Arkansas yesterday afternoon that the world's largest retailer brings much expertise to the table in terms of getting aid to where it is needed most.
We're going to work together to improve sourcing on supply chains like cashews in West Africa and reach farmers that are small scale, usually women-headed households, help them improve their incomes and move out of poverty. Together, we're going to actually look at USAID has 6 emergency distribution centers for our humanitarian relief efforts when a flood hits Pakistan and an earthquake hits Haiti. And we're going to rely on Walmart's ingenuity and knowledge of faster, cheaper, safer supply chains and logistics management to help improve the efficiency of that enterprise.
Shaw says that public-private partnerships like the one with Walmart are crucial for international aid and development because, for example, they allow vaccines to more efficiently get from a factory to a rural clinic in Haiti, or to get perishable crops to market from rural farms in places like Bangladesh without getting lost or spoiled in supply chains. And the idea of public-private partnerships in the developing world was the theme of Shaw's lecture, the second in the Food for Thought series sponsored by the Dale Bumpers College of Food, Agricultural, and Life Sciences at the U of A. USAID works toward ending extreme poverty in the developing world, and Shaw says that the only way to make substantial progress in the many sectors in which the agency is involved is through partnerships like the one with Walmart.
The days of hiring a contractor to build a road might still be relevant in some parts of Afghanistan, but in reality, over the long term, if we're going to end extreme poverty, unnecessary child death, and widespread child hunger, we're going to do it by bringing businesses with real supply chains, logistics capabilities, the capacity to invent new technologies, and the determination to measure results and work in partnership to some of the farthest corners of the globe.
One area where the agency works to bring poverty relief to remote stretches of the globe is through the Feed the Future program, which was launched by President Obama in 2009 to increase food security in developing areas of Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East.
We partner with businesses and universities, scientists, technologists, and local farmers to help them improve their production all over the world. We focus in 19 countries where the countries themselves have said we're going to expand our investment in agriculture, we're going to change our regulations to allow businesses to thrive, and we're going to fight corruption in this sector, in this place. And when countries do that, we, the United States, will make significant investments.
Through Feed the Future, Shaw says that the U.S. has increased its investment in foreign agricultural development from $250 million annually to $1.5 billion a year, a move he says was made only after evidence like household surveys and nutritional assessment of children has proven that the program works. Shaw says that Feed the Future has reached 7 million farm households and has helped 12 million children move from malnutrition to nutritional self-sufficiency, due in part to the agency's previous partnership with Walmart on improving food supply chains. And even though USAID has partnerships with some large corporations, some people might think that convincing other companies to follow suit into developing regions might be a hard economic sell. But Shaw refutes that notion, saying that from a business perspective, there's ample opportunity for the private sector to find profit in development opportunities abroad.
Some of the best companies are looking to unlock value over 10, 20, 30 years as opposed to over 10 or 20 months. And when you take that longer term view, you know, Africa has 65% of the world's unused arable land. The issue of sanitation and hygiene in India is a massive long-term business opportunity for companies like Unilever and Procter & Gamble that, you know, do that. Water access in very difficult to reach communities in Latin America and Africa are of priority to Coca-Cola and Pepsi.
Shah says that developing areas of the world have some of the fastest growing economies as well, with annual growth rates between 4 and 10%, and 6 of the world's 10 fastest growing economies are in sub-Saharan Africa. And aside from development of food, water, and humanitarian security, Shah says that the next development frontier will be bringing electricity to the darkened portions of the world. And USAID has recently launched a program called Power Africa. Continuing with the theme of his lecture, Shah says that the program is intended to bring together public and private organizations in order to bridge the electricity gap on the African continent, where he says 600 million people don't have access to reliable electricity.
Country governments make policy reforms. That often means deregulating their utilities and adjusting their pricing systems and cracking down on waste and leakage in their existing management of electricity grids. Private companies, ranging from GE to local investment houses, will come together to generate 10,000 megawatts of new energy, enough energy to reach 20 million people. And the United States government will provide a broad range of support for this effort, including some technical support from partners like USAID, but also loan guarantees and credit guarantees and export-import program benefits from our partner agencies like the Overseas Private Investment Corporation.
More than $7 billion of U.S. public finance and more than $14.7 billion of private investment is being funneled into the effort, which Shah says will help countries in sub-Saharan Africa push past the economic development barrier of not having enough electricity. Energy development includes not only large-scale energy production, but it also relies upon innovation, like a, quote, socket ball, which is the shape and size of a soccer ball, but after being kicked around for roughly half an hour, it provides the energy insecure with 4 to 6 hours of electricity in order to power a mobile phone. Shah says that technology like the socket ball, which is important to development of parts of the world without a modernized or reliable power grid, was developed by two American graduate students.
Those are the kinds of new inventions and new technologies that frankly can be the next phase of university and student partnerships with the biggest development challenges we face around the world.
And though much of his lecture was devoted to extolling the necessity of private-public partnerships, Shah says that there is still a need for public research in the realm of international development. As an example, he referred back to the progress made in the decades following passage of the Morrill Act, which was the federal legislation that enabled the formation of land-grant universities like the U of A.
I mean, this was, you know, essentially pre-industrial revolution. The cars didn't arrive by then, and yet you were seeing big improvements in agricultural productivity growth, development of rural finance systems, people moving into urban settings, and real progress. And similarly, where we've seen this kind of huge progress in many parts of the world, Brazil, Mexico, India, the Philippines, Indonesia, it's been jump-started by large, structured, consistent, and well-executed investments in public research and development.
Shah also made mention of another apt piece of history. When the U of A sent researchers and students to Panama more than 60 years ago to improve that nation's agricultural economy, it became the first land-grant college in the nation to send a foreign mission abroad. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.